The Benjamin Bernanke story, starring Paul Giamatti. Yeah. Burning Fen.
Oh, my.
Welcome to Hey You Know It, Episode 8, Matthew Modine, Miss Tyler Perry, and the world's oldest princess. I'm Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir.
And we're bringing you our latest episode of the world's most incredible, fantastic podcast, number one in our demographic, Hey You Know It. So the first thing I just wanted to show you was a visual. I didn't want to show it to you beforehand.
Oh, great.
But this is, so I get home, and this is in the mail. Rogue.
Rogue?
Yeah. I'm like, Vogue magazine should, so what this basically is, it looks like a Vogue magazine. It says Rogue, and it's put up by Procter & Gamble, and inside they just sell all of their products, like Pantene and whatnot.
It's smaller. It's not as big as a magazine, but it looks like a magazine. But it says Rogue across the cover.
The best part about it is I didn't even know what it was. My husband was like, oh, you got this new magazine. I'm like, well, they got him.
Wait, if he thinks that this is a magazine, then people are going to think it's a magazine. I don't.
Men will think it's a magazine. I mean, it has a woman's face on it. It says Rogue. And I said, oh. They're trying to pretend to be another magazine. What magazine is that? Clearly Vogue.
Vogue, but smaller and more scrappy.
Or maybe this is this, oh, sorry. I'm an idiot. It's Rouge. It looks like Rogue, but it's Rouge. I would buy Rogue magazine. Rogue beauty magazine.
And they got both of us, because we both are like Rogue magazine.
Rouge.
And it's Rouge.
It's
That's
terrible.
A dumb.
And inside there are all these celebrities, because I guess celebrities don't make enough money from whatever it is that they're doing. They have to advertise, you know, herbal essences. Here's Taylor Swift hawking like some cover girl. I don't know. I'm not impressed. Oh, Rouge magazine. I thought it was Rogue. In any case.
I like Rogue better.
So
they should consider changing around those
letters. Rogue magazine. We should do that. Rogue magazine. The official magazine of Hey You Know It. Rogue. So what do you... I have... This week was just a effed up week. I'm trying to use less profanity. So I'm going to use things... I'm going to say effed. And frigged.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I
mean, can I use it too?
Yeah, you can use frig if you want to. Right. We're already explicit. The rating is already explicit.
Well, the subject matter is mature.
Yeah.
Or as I gotta say, my mother's like, consider poverty of language.
She what does said that mean?
It means just try not to say like anything too graphic.
Okay, that's the poverty of language.
Poverty
I would think
of
the poverty of language would be. I don't know, just not saying much at all. Maybe she was just trying to be like, shut up.
Yeah, she was basically saying,
consider,
I don't want to listen to you, so stop recording.
The poverty of language. So speaking of just horrible things, I saw this in the Wall Street Journal, by the way, is my onion.
Your onion.
Yeah, I read it every day. It's always ridiculous. I think you should read the Wall Street Journal because you have to know what they are up to. This is the man's paper, and in it the man is laying out. And by the man, I just mean anyone who's in control. It doesn't have to be, you know,
a man or a woman or
or
black
Benjamin
or white.
Bernanke.
It's just who is
this kind of thing. By the way, there's a film coming out with Benjamin Bernanke, chairman of the Fed. I know. You can't wait. He's being played by Paul Giamatti.
Too Big to Fail, right? Is that the one?
No, it's called Ben Bernanke. That's what I saw as a working title. Who cares?
Why?
What
Nobody
is this going to be about? This is to him basically walking into a room and. I don't know, talking about the Fed?
So they're glamorizing...
The Fed.
The Fed and, you know, just the banks taking over everything.
That's guess.
Boy, isn't that sexy.
Yeah, that sounds like a great... Maybe it's going to be like the money never sleeps type
Yeah,
film.
We rip you off. The public is being ripped off, aren't we?
In 90 minutes. Or maybe
shiny.
It's going to be Oliver Stone. It's going to be like 145 minutes.
Right.
From everyone's point of view. So here's what I found in the Wall Street Journal that I thought was... pretty amazing and effed up. Let's see if I can find it. So basically, AIG, you know AIG, the big insurance company that has plunged us all into debt for the rest of eternity, tries to sell death bet securities.
Death bet?
Yes.
Wait, on yourself or on celebrities?
So why would it be on celebrities? So basically what they're doing is they're taking people's, they're called death bonds or blood pools or collateralized death obligations. So basically, they take all old people's insurance policies, they put them together in a bond, kind of like they were doing with mortgages. They're putting poor people's mortgages into a bond. Mm-hmm. So they're putting old people's insurance policies into a bond, and they're betting that the people will die before the insurance company has to pay out lots of money.
gamble on
yes
on everything.
So the problem is they can't get the ratings agencies to say if these are good bets or bad bets. And they're saying that it might be a little unsavory.
A little, oh, they're thinking it's
yeah,
unsavory.
They're thinking it's unsavory. I
go ahead.
Just do it. I mean, there's nothing savory about Wall Street. There's nothing safe. Like, who cares? Yeah, it's all betting.
It's just, yeah, finding something else to bet on.
Yeah.
And then they're going to cut, probably that's why they're pushing to cut Medicare as much. So people really do.
People do die, and these bonds pay off big. Yeah. You know what? I would, I'm trying to figure out how I can invest in these bonds.
Oh.
It's going to make money.
Don't be part of that. You don't need to fight the power. Come on.
What?
You can't do that.
Death bets? I don't know. I think it's good.
No.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, they're making money.
I don't.
They're making money.
It doesn't matter. You know, it does not matter.
I thought that insurance worked, that your loved ones get the money when you die. Maybe I just don't know how insurance works. But otherwise, why are you taking out the insurance if someone that you know is not going to get this money? Doesn't that seem odd?
No.
I don't understand how this works. I think they're just going to start killing people and taking their money.
Yeah, and pulling plugs and all of that.
Yeah,
and
to get the money.
And just reducing all benefits. Yep.
So go AIG. Woo! I think they got bailed out, too.
Well, you know, I was, I'm hearing this a lot, that people are saying that over your lifetime, you're going to swallow about 8 spiders in your sleep over your life. All human beings do that. Have you heard this?
Yeah, I've read that, yeah. Also, apparently, we eat like 16 pounds of dirt over a lifetime, too. Who are you hearing this from?
Well, I was hearing
this is like a buzz chatter.
Yeah, it's kind
in
of a, like coming from a variety of different sources. So I looked it up, and it basically is not true. Someone like 50 years ago put out this information to see how gullible people are. And they put this, and how fast or and how easily people will believe this misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And then everyone forgot about it and made a resurgence again. So everyone's like, and I'm reading, people are like, oh, it's only the little spiders that come down. Like, they're trying to explain what kind of spiders it is that people are eating. They're like,
Presumably spiders with a death wish.
But I say, good, if a spider goes into my mouth, you know, you deserve to be boiled in my stomach juices, and I don't care.
But there's no negative repercussions. I mean, for the spider, obviously, but, like, for the person, like, nothing is, I guess if you're swallowing, like, people are probably imagining that you're swallowing, like, a tarantula.
Yeah, right. The big hairy ones that jump or
something. Or the bird-eating ones that, like, are the size of a monkey and, like, eat bats or whatever.
Yeah, but we're not even swallowing them, so it's like...
They're just drowning in juices in our stomach. Yeah. Speaking of animal things, speaking of stupid research on animals, we are, for Passover, we are watching a friend's cat.
What?
Yeah. Well, they're away. They went to Florida, and they needed someone to watch their cat for them. So we're watching this cat.
How do you watch a cat?
Last night we watched Chaos, the movie with Jason Statham, and we watched it with a cat. We just went over there and hung out with the cat.
Oh, it needs company? I don't think cats...
Well...
This cat needs
this
company?
This cat needs company. This cat is complaining all the time. It's just... I thought cats were chilled out. So my husband, who's a little bit allergic to cats, but he loves animals, we can't be with the cat that much. So he's like, what can we do to make this cat have a better time? So he does some research on the internet and finds out that cats... like music.
Okay.
But not every kind of music. They prefer synth pop that has a bass beat to it. But the beauty of this, I said, how did they find this out? So apparently some Scandinavian scientists, like, put cats in a room with different types of music and then recorded their response. Yeah, and watched
them. Like...
So cats relaxed to, synth pop. It had a nice beat to it. Cats did not like opera.
Oh.
And they found that if you're making a high-pitched noise around cats, they will come and try to put their paw on your mouth.
Oh, no kidding.
And my husband said, this is that they're trying to help you. I'm like, no, they're trying to tell you to shut up.
Yeah, that's all they're
like, something comes over and puts a paw on your mouth. That's like, shush.
Yeah, my friend has a cat that it will climb on your lap and then try to smell your breath. And I think they're trying to suck out your soul.
That was what I was going to say. That's a housewife's tale.
Yeah.
Or an old wife's tale that they try to suck out your soul. I think they're just trying to be like, well, either your breath smells good.
Or
I don't know what the other reason is.
They're just rude.
They
just don't have boundaries.
Maybe they're closed talkers.
Yeah. Right.
So we're going to play some synth pop for this cat and see what happens. The cat complains endlessly.
I think that's a bunch of BS. I think your friend is just trying to control you guys and get you to do something just because it's a power play. I don't think cats need...
because it's Passover, it's a mitzvah, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, I can stick to it, but
I need to do all the mitzvahs I can. So I'll take this Passover cat and, synth pop.
Prince William is getting married.
Oh, God, these horse thieves. Who cares?
I know, but one thing that got my attention is that he's not going to wear a wedding ring.
Why not?
He opts not to. And she's okay with that because people of that echelon don't have to wear rings, apparently.
Or be faithful.
I guess not. They were trying to say, well, he's so well known that everyone knows he's married. And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of, I see celebrities and don't recognize them at first.
I don't recognize him when it says he's Prince, whoever he is, under his name. It just looks like some white guy who's losing his hair in the front.
Yeah.
And trying to compensate. Is she not the oldest princess ever? How old is what? She's 57 in a blue suit. And her trademark apparently is knee boots.
Knee boots and a scarf.
And a scarf.
And they're like, oh, they're bucking tradition. Isn't that great? And whatever works for them, let them do it. But I don't know. I used to check coats at a nightclub. And a guy once forgot his ticket. And so in order to identify his coat, I said, what's in the pocket? Tell me what's in the pocket.
My dignity is in the pocket. My fidelity to my wife is in the pocket.
And I reached and he said, oh, no. And I pulled out his wedding ring. He put his wedding ring in his pocket, went in to dance his ass off.
Why didn't he want the coat check person to know that he was out to sleep with someone else other than his wife?
He should have been embarrassed, which he was, because he knows.
But did you know him?
No.
Did you have any way of contacting the wife?
No.
Was he just like, no?
Well, maybe he was going to drag out some broad. And I would have been like, hang on, he's married.
Yeah, don't forget to look in his left pocket.
Right.
It says, I'll love you always, Martha. 1987. I don't know what year it was.
I don't know. Well, the ring is a symbol of a contract. So I guess people of that strata don't have to be in a contract.
I did medieval studies. I mean, they basically always cheated. First of all, I'm surprised that they're not already related. That seems to be that's bucking tradition right there, is marrying someone who's not already your first cousin or closer to you somehow, related to you on three sides. I don't care. I find royalty offensive. I think that woman looks like a bird, and he looks like a horse.
Yeah, so they're going to have, if they have children.
Yeah, if they have children. I don't know what they're going to have.
Flying.
A menagerie. A menagerie. I don't care about them. And I think their wedding seems like a wait. Like, is this woman going to be a queen someday?
Yeah, I guess so. And poor Prince Charles, he's never going to become the king because he's probably going to die.
Does anyone become a king? I feel like that whole thing is just dying.
Well, the queen has to die, and then he becomes the king. And then when he dies, then Prince William is... Awesome. Right.
So you're giving your advice on how to avoid confrontation or winning. I found a piece of advice here for advice on advice.
Oh, yes, our segment.
Our segment.
Well,
advice
is we come across some advice, and it usually is very poor, so we need to give advice on how they could improve said advice.
Yeah, so this is, I went back to Forbes.com, because they gave us that stellar advice before how to flirt at work without incurring a massive lawsuit. That was just awful. So this one from Forbes.com, in the careers section, is how to win an argument without words.
So your fists.
Yeah. No, this is the thing. This is what I thought, too. So leadership often involves negotiating very tough deals or handling strong objections or getting a reluctant team to agree to some difficult course of action. So already you're assuming that you're like a CEO or like the head of a team at some nameless, faceless, corporation.com something. Yet most of us give little thought to our nonverbal actions while these verbal activities are going on. We may raise our voice, use anger, blah, 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 or even stand up to physically dominate the room. I'm 5 feet tall. This is not...
You have to stand up on a chair.
It's not going to happen. Yet we miss some of the most powerful means of persuasion as humans have when we don't consciously use nonverbal gestures or argument. Nonverbal persuasion is subtle. It works more slowly. So here... this sounds to me like you're going to hypnotize somebody, right?
Right, right. Okay.
Suggestion, manipulation. So here are the three things that you should do. So we're having an argument.
Okay.
I'm the CEO, you're the CFO, or whatever it is. The first, I should mirror your adversary, their behavior.
Well, when you mirror someone that's trying to get on get in with them?
Well, in this case, it says it builds agreement. So you can so for example, if you have your hands on your hips, I should put my hands on my hips.
Yeah, that's trying to, you're trying to communicate with somebody. So that's not dominating. That's trying
to. Well, you're trying to diffuse the situation here, I think. So you shouldn't be obvious about it. So if you're striking some weird Vogue-like pose, I should slowly get into this pose. And the idea is simple. If you're seated, I get seated. If you stand up, I stand up. Right? You want to move slowly until you more or less match the other person's stance. I find this freaky. If we're having a confrontation and then you start kind of doing what I'm doing, it's kind of like a Marx Brothers situation.
This is backwards. It's backwards. This is when you're trying to come to an agreement, not trying to dominate somebody. They're messed up. Whoever's doing this is incredibly wrong.
Well,
anyway.
They're saying that they'll begin to trust you. So The next thing is if they start arguing or heckling, now we're at a comedy club.
You suck.
Yeah. You call that a CEO? I don't know. Or violently, if they start to disagree with you, so say you've mirrored them, it didn't work, then you align with them. So that means that if they're facing one direction, you face that direction also, and eventually you'll be standing shoulder to shoulder with them. Who is going to allow this to happen?
the weirdest thing, because you're usually when you're, you know, if anybody's been in an office, if you start arguing with somebody, they're usually sitting at a desk, you're standing in the doorway,
or
you're both at the table.
At a desk, you would need to get a similar desk next to them and slowly get the same
sideways
position. It says people start arguing or heckling when they want to be heard and acknowledged, or if you're wrong, is what I'm saying. So now I'm doing whatever you're doing. We're facing the same direction. Now somehow we're still having a conversation, even though we're both facing the same direction.
So I'm going to roll my chair next to the boss is sitting at the head of the conference table. I'm going to roll my chair next to him,
mm-hmm.
shoulder to shoulder, and look out the window with him.
And then the last thing is, if the tension remains high, use hands down gesture to dampen it. So this is the opposite of the raise the roof.
Yeah.
So you're tamping it down. This sends a message that it's wise and safe to calm. This is bizarre. So first, I'm going to mirror you. Then when you're like, stop mocking me, then I'm going to go into the same position as you. And then when you're about to, I don't know, go postal, I'm going to just I'm going to lower the roof on you.
It's a dance. This is just a dance. It's going to catch on like the Macarena.
Yeah.
You know, mirror, side, and hands
and
down.
My thing is, maybe I should be working in offices. I mean, this sounds hilarious. I'm going to start every argument by just striking the weirdest pose I possibly can.
So remember when you're arguing, just to check other people to see if they're trying
to
get
you. I'm going
to
squat and throw a gang signal in my argument and see if Mr., you know, Bobalina is like.
Do some squat thrusts.
Yeah,
squat down,
just
shoot your
weird
legs out.
And then I want to see the person really next to me doing exactly the same. This is an improv exercise, actually.
It is, but it's supposed to bring people together and on the same page. It's not trying to dominate. This is wrong.
Well, it's trying to dominate.
You're not dominating somebody. This is to put you on the same level. That's why it's so wrong. They don't know what they're doing.
You know who else does this? I think bears and rams do this in the wild.
I'm offended by this.
Well, Forbes.com, this guy Nick Morgan. And Nick Morgan is the president of Public Words, a communications consulting. Two words that mean nothing separately and mean nothing together. Yeah. Communications consulting firm, the author of, get this, Trust Me, 4 Steps to Authenticity and Charisma.
What
a putz.
4 steps, not three or not five.
4 steps.
I don't know. I've got
Advice. One more thing.
Oh, no.
He did mention, use the power of nonverbal messages before you have to resort to verbal fisticuffs.
So really, just try to mirror them, and if they don't, then punch them in the face.
Yeah. Oh, no, verbal fisticuffs. So verbally punch them in the face. What do you mean, Sherlock Holmes fisticuffs?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you were going right for that. Okay, so then what would that be then? Without my business, your job wouldn't even exist.
Yeah.
That's what you would say. That's a punch, right?
Sir, when you take off your gloves and you smack them about the face. I mean, in an argument, what do? I just get loud. Start waving my arms around. That usually scares most people away. I think bears also do that.
I start yelling, and then I start crying.
Does that work? Do you win?
No, I don't embarrass myself. But it's mine. It's my technique.
I just get loud. Or when I was working, when I was a teacher, I get quiet. then people think you're about to just shank them. And whatever it is that you want. Okay, so what is your advice?
My advice is from a site called Relax, Refresh, Recharge. It's it's 8 tips to beat procrastination. Okay, so I'm like, okay, fine. Let's.
Meanwhile, you're supposed to be doing something else, so you're looking this up.
Yeah, so I'm looking, but there have a bunch of different tips here, but they're basically all the same. First of all, okay, number one, if you don't need to get it done, don't put it on your to-do list.
Okay, so don't write anything down.
So don't do anything.
Yeah, that's don't say you're going to do anything. Right. Don't write anything down.
Yeah, so it's not a tip to get it done yet again. It's just a tip to get it off your list.
But it does save time. It saves time.
And then if you don't have to do it, remember, you don't have to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
So then you don't really have to do it.
No.
I mean, and three, maybe you don't like doing it, so give it the task to someone else to do.
Delegate.
So, again, you're not doing it.
Well, here's my thing. I mean, I'd like to. Can someone else lose 5 pounds for me?
Or number four, you can just decide it doesn't have to get done. All these things are saying, just don't do it. It's not how to stop procrastinating.
Where did you find this?
This stupid website.
This is brought to you by marijuana.
And then number five, okay, just start it. It may be easier than you expected. So there's it's a list of tips how not to do something, and the last tip is just do it.
Well, you know what? I mean, as someone who's procrastinating and looking online, yeah, that last one, just do. Okay, sure. Why didn't I just think of that?
Yeah,
I can't believe I've been sitting around all this time.
I couldn't get anyone else to do it. I couldn't decide not to do it.
Was this on eHow.com?
No,
I find that they have the worst advice.
It's just Relax, Refresh, Recharge is the name of the
website. Were they selling? Because a lot of the websites that I looked for advice, they were like, and now buy this.
Yeah. No, they had all kinds of ads all over the place. But, I mean, the real advice should have been you just be a gross, low achiever.
Yeah.
And live a life of irresponsibility in your hovel.
Yeah. Watch that sci-fi TV original again.
Dare they do this.
Watch Mansquito.
When I'm trying to get over my procrastination sitting at my desk, they're telling me, just don't do it.
Yeah, just don't do it. Or tell someone else to do it.
Tell someone else. Or just really, just take it off your list.
But the whole point of procrastinating is, to waste time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how to stop procrastinating?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way to do that. I think that's some kind of a snake eating itself. Like,
yeah.
Like there's no way to stop procrastinating. You just got to do it. You got to work through it.
You just got to build
not
in.
Work through it.
You just got to build in time to procrastinate
in
your
schedule.
Yeah,
that's what I do. Yeah. I like to leave just enough time to do it,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. So then the procrastinating really is just kind of the preamble, just leading up to
mm-hmm.
it. I don't see that as procrastinating at all.
That's terrible advice. And
I don't see it as procrastinating at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and there's no name. Nobody is like this anonymous advice. It's just a site, and nobody takes any responsibility for what they write on there.
And by the way, buy this random thing that goes on with it. So what do you got for it? Let's head on over to our celebrity corner.
Yes.
I had a tough time, so why don't you go first?
Well, okay. We have a
don't
discount.
Look so excited about it.
No, I can't. Celebrity discount. This is when if you can't afford the real thing, the A-list celebrity, then you have
the F-list
to back you up to fit your budget. Especially in this economy.
In this economy, yeah, we're all about saving money.
Okay.
Hollywood.
All right, so I have Matthew Modine for Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
Okay, everyone remembers Matthew Modine from Vision Quest?
Yeah, was Madonna in that?
She gyrated. In the description on the back, I'll never forget this, Lady Rocker Madonna sings her songs, and that's how she was building it.
Wow,
Lady Rocker. Yeah, but he rocked a...
Now she's like retired Catwoman.
Right, she's a Jocelyn Wildenstein or Elderstein.
Wow.
Too. But he had a sauna suit on, and I love that because
I'm
had a
not
sauna
sure
suit.
What that is.
A sauna suit.
Is that a Mylar bag fashioned into a sweatsuit?
It is basically a plastic sweatsuit. Tops and bottoms, and it's so hot, and you just sweat in it. And so that's when you really want to lose weight fast. You lose all that water weight, and you think you're losing weight. And that's
what?
And so he had he was a wrestler, and he had to make weight. And
okay.
So he was exercising with the sauna suit on. And that...
My cousin Kay had one of those when I was a kid. She used to wear it around. She was always struggling with weight. Mostly because she just ate and ate and ate. But her thing, she would wear the Mylar bag suit, and
mm-hmm.
she'd be like, I'm going to do some housework. I'm like, that's not going to cut it. You can't just do your normal, like, I just can't put come in here, tape a podcast, put on the Mylar suit, and expect to walk out of here having lost any kind of weight whatsoever.
It is so hot, and you're so just slick with sweat afterwards.
It sounds unsanitary.
It's disgusting. But that's what we all did.
Did it work?
The sauna suit. Well, you just drop some water weight, and then you're yeah, I lost weight, and you feel good. But he was in that, and Ethan Hawke was in Dead Poets Society, White Fang, and Training Day.
Oh, Dead Poets Society was filmed at my old boarding school. Shout out. All the people of color had to leave for that filming, obviously. We did. We had to get out.
You're looking through the gates.
Yeah, you can't have, like, you know, darky in the background, like, hey, equal rights.
They're not going to boarding school.
Yeah, not yet.
They're not. Oh, my. But even though, like, Ethan Hawke has had a little more of a glamorous career, married and divorced to Uma Thurman.
And now he's married to his nanny, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta love
glamorous,
that one.
Glamorous. But he is 12 years younger than Modine. But
really? They look the same age.
They do.
Sorry,
that's
Ethan.
What I'm saying. Ethan has some lines in his face, and I don't care about that thing, but man, at 30, I saw a picture and he was 37 in it, and he looked like he was 49.
Did you see Daybreakers?
Yeah,
he
I
played
did.
A vampire.
Yeah.
He didn't have to wear makeup for that.
Yeah, it was terrible. So that's why, with the age difference, you know, Modine looks like a young Ethan Hawke.
Wow. And so what is Modine now doing? I think he was doing a fundraiser for some kind of cancer.
He's doing a fundraiser, and he's not doing too much of anything. But the thing is that they're both actors.
Mm-hmm.
They're both the kind of, when they're interviewed, they say, you know, my first love is acting, and the theater is the place where I feel most free. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, isn't Ethan Hawke does theater in the city, right?
Yeah, he does. And
have you seen it? No.
No. But he lives in New York, and he also has a small island in Nova Scotia.
Wow. Very interesting. So he must be doing well. So at what discount? Now, who's serving whom?
Modine is the discount for Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You know, Ethan Hawke has had a bigger career and a little more, you know, razzmatazz, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think he's like 75%.
Okay.
That's not bad.
I'm trying to picture what Matthew Modine looks like, and now I'm just thinking of Ethan Hawke. So, okay, I'll give you that discount. I'll give you that discount.
Okay.
I had a very hard time with celebrities, I got Paul Giamatti.
Oh, he's terrible.
Come on.
He's terrible.
You know, everybody's schmo. And then I also have Steve Buscemi.
Oh. I like him, but
and
Jesus.
I've met Steve Buscemi before. I actually saw Steve Buscemi pee on a car on the Lower East Side after a benefit at PS122.
What's he have? What does he have?
He's a lovely guy. He's got kind of a rough and tumble background.
Mm-hmm.
He's from New York. He was a firefighter.
Right. He went back after 9/11.
Yeah, after 9/11, he went back and he, like, anonymously. Like, anyway, like, anyone's going to recognize Steve Buscemi. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like every white guy in, like, New York City. But he had a kind of a rough life, just like a local guy. I think he went to a community college for a minute. And then he started doing films. He was stabbed in the throat a couple of years ago in a fight he and Vince Vaughn got into a fight in a bar.
With each other?
No, with someone else.
Nice.
First of all, I'm like, why? I can't even imagine those two guys together.
And why does, and probably Vince Vaughn started it. That's what I think.
They went for Steve. Come on, no one's going to start a fight with Vince Vaughn. He's like 8 feet tall.
No, I think that he started the fight, and then he was just
Steve Buscemi got stabbed in the throat?
Yeah. I think that Vince Vaughn was antagonizing someone with his rapid talking, you know.
His jocular nature, and somebody was like, that's it, I'm stabbing your scrawny friend in the throat.
Yeah, that's what I think happened.
I don't understand why people are getting stabbed. Anyway, this was like not that long ago. Paul Giamatti, on the other hand, totally not what I thought. Went to Choate, which is like fancy prep school. English major at Yale. Got a master MFA Yale. His dad was the president of Yale. His dad was also a commissioner of baseball.
Like, his whole wardrobe, he had all the sweatshirts.
Yale. And it was real.
Yeah.
You know, my dad ran Yale and all I got was this lousy sweatshirt. So, Paul Giamatti, and I like Paul Giamatti.
I don't like him. Disagree. I don't think you should.
Why?
Because he's just too grating. He's too annoying. And,
but that's what I like. Because I missed the old Woody Allen. And I thought that, you know, Paul Giamatti was just going to play like a kind of a schmo. But now he's going to play Benjamin Bernanke in the Benjamin Bernanke story starring Paul Giamatti. Yeah. I think that should be like, you know, there's Lifetime TV for women. This is like the men's version.
Yeah.
Lifetime TV for men, the Ben Bernanke story. Right.
Sitting on the couch.
The burning fed.
Oh, my. I could have gone down that road.
Yeah.
It could have been me.
He looks like Ben Bernanke a little bit. Does anyone even know what Ben Bernanke looks like? Anyway, so that, and I say that Steve Buscemi is serving Paul Giamatti at like a 65% discount. Because if you want a downtrodden guy in a movie, you can't get Giamatti anymore.
You can't.
He did that John Adams business.
He's right on the cusp of like, you know what? Nobody's going to want him anymore. I think Buscemi, I don't think he, I think the discount should be a little bit.
83%?
Yeah.
Okay. He does like 5 films a year. He's a hardworking guy. Yeah. I like him. My favorite Steve Buscemi movie is Trees Lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Where he plays an alcoholic who drives an ice cream truck.
I like to, when he's in an Adam Sandler movie. I know you don't like. And he put on some lipstick and laid down. I thought it was just fantastic.
No,
I love
him. So, look, we have a piece of listener mail.
Oh, right.
Yay! Our listener mail comes from someone who has been following us on Twitter. His Twitter name is at Rodimus Prime, and he has a blog called The Brother Who Tips. Obviously, this is a fantasy blog. This guy's like a unicorn. And he also has a podcast that you can find as well. So what was his... This is a funny question. I don't know how it came up. Well, this is in the media a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's about Tyler Perry and Spike Lee. It's about their beef that they have.
Yeah, Miss Tyler Perry is upset. That's Spike. Do you want to read the question?
Yeah, it says here, what is the beef between, I'm going to kind of...
Paraphrase.
Does it marginalize black directors in Hollywood to see it played out so publicly, their tiff? It's kind of like female rappers in hip-hop. The only way they can get the attention of a white audience is when they act up.
Okay. All right. So what do you think about that?
Well, the thing is, okay, so every time Tyler Perry has something going on, Spike Lee jumps in and says,
he's only said like 2 things.
Yeah, but he's just like, what are you, you're pandering. Just giving the white people what they want.
Even though white people don't go to see that
stuff. Yeah, your buffoonery is. Mm-hmm.
And coonery, which is one of my favorite words.
Coonery. And, you know, just trying to do that whole, hey, you know, and
get Chitlin into the circuit.
Yeah, the stereotypical stuff that it's just promoting that, and Spike Lee isn't having it. And Tyler Perry is saying, this is my art, this is what I want to do, and we shouldn't fight with each other, you know, we don't have to destroy each other's art, it's not that, and people, all kinds of people
Did
like
really
my movies.
Did he say art?
Yeah.
It's a film.
It's
I'm writing
art.
A movie. Am I calling it art?
It's his art. And that's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah. So he can go ahead and make a lot of money off promoting these stereotypes that aren't good for the black community. And Spike Lee's calling him on it.
Okay. I think personally, anyone is welcome to have a beef with anybody. I think that just because they're both black, why should that stop them from having beef with each other? I mean, look at who is it? Michael Bay and Uwe Boll.
Michael Bay and Uwe Boll.
Michael Bay, the Transformers, and Uwe Boll.
I don't know about this. Fight.
Uwe Boll did a called Postal. Like, he's done a bunch of, you know, in the Name of the King, a lot of, like, low-budget action movies. And he has a beef with Michael Bay, who's saying the same thing. He's like, my stuff is commercial and it's art, and your stuff sucks.
Okay, so.
And so I think the thing is, just because they're black, I don't like this idea that all black people have to agree with each other and have to like each other's stuff and have to back each other up. We don't.
Yeah, they say whatever you want. And also, you know what I think this reminds me of?
I don't like Tyler Perry.
And I'm with Spike Lee on this, because what this reminds me of is when you see straight girls at a club making out to get attention from guys.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. They're not really gay, but they're going to do it anyway because it's
and
titillating.
And Tyler Perry's films are really films.
You know, and so, but these girls, and then you're like, oh, you're gay? No, we're just horsing around. It's like, well, then, you know, you're not just, you're doing it for the attention, and you're doing it to, you know, take away attention from other girls as well. So it's, you know, then, you know, go and, you know, do whatever lesbians do.
Yeah.
Go for it.
You hear
that,
Tyler Perry? Go do whatever lesbians do.
You know, really, don't just sit there and make out and then claim it's art.
Put, you know, the metal to the pedal to the metal.
Yeah, so with Spike Lee, it's just like, stop it. You know, stop, you know, being coy about it and dancing around and being like, hee. Look, everybody's looking at us.
But I also don't like, I mean, Spike Lee is one of the most well-known directors in the history of film.
Yeah, and I think and he has quality work behind
him. Yeah, he has quality work. And so to say that it's like he's only getting attention because they're... No, it's getting attention because we have this really high-grossing queen, Tyler Perry, over here, making what I consider just to be schlock. Yeah. I don't even know how that stuff got out of, like, the back of a church, you know? And then you have Spike Lee, who's brought, you know, Do the Right Thing and, mm-hmm, all, you know, all this kind of stuff. I'm not a huge Spike Lee fan, but I definitely think everyone is entitled to their opinion. And if you think that what someone is doing is hurting someone, like, I as a woman, there's a lot of stuff that I see women doing in films, like most things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's hurting women.
Absolutely.
So, and I have the right to my opinion. So I say, go, Spike, go. And also Tyler Perry has the right to her opinion.
And I say, go, Spike, go.
Yeah.
I do, too. Even though he'll be like, you know, white girl.
Yeah,
shut
I don't
it.
Like all of his stuff.
Okay, you can say that to
whatever.
Me.
Whatever. He's scrawny and kind of weird looking. He probably got some beef about that. His hair is weird. But yeah. I'm saying he has the right to his little own weird opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm with him on that. So.
Thank you, Rodimus Prime, for a listener mail. If you have a chance, check out.
We hope that helps.
Black Guy Who Tips. And sorry if we offended. No, we're not sorry. Go screw yourself. Go frig yourself. What was
that?
Go frig yourself is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. One last thing here. Also, folks, Hey You Know It is giving out their first award. This is an award for the actor with the best yell in film or television.
Oh, who is it?
The nominees are Al Pacino.
Hoo-ah!
Samuel Jackson.
Also hoo-ah.
Uh-huh. Kiefer Sutherland.
Again.
Bob Odenkirk.
What?
Gilbert Gottfried.
Who was fired from Aflac for making an insensitive remark.
Yes, and Ted Knight.
Who's Ted Knight?
I can't believe it.
I'm thinking Ted Nugent.
No, Ted Knight was in Caddyshack.
Oh, I'm thinking the Nuge still.
Because
I just like to think about Ted Nugent.
You just like to think about
him. Yeah, I just like to think about
the Nuge. And his guns.
And how he hates everybody. Oh, wait, I have a plug for my show.
But I didn't tell you
we
have to announce the winners.
I thought we were going to ask people to. Let's announce it in the next podcast.
Oh, okay. And if anybody wants to vote, then you can email or Twitter or something.
Email, Twitter, say, hey, you know. And in our next podcast, we'll announce the winner.
Yeah. Okay. So Al Pacino, Samuel Jackson, Kiefer Sutherland, Bob Odenkirk, Gilbert Gottfried, and Ted Knight. Let us know.
And I have a shameless plug. My show, Hey... That's not called Hey You Know. That's a show we're doing now. I forgot the name of my own show. I have a one-woman show called That's Funny, You Didn't Sound Black on the Phone.
You guys, it's so funny.
And she wasn't paid to say that.
Really?
It was out in L.A. last year. I'm doing it again this year. But before I go back to L.A., and you don't even know this, I'm doing a New York City preview.
Nice.
At the Producers Club, May 27th and 28th, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely.
$10.
Folks, be there. It's well worth it.
Yeah.
And
shots
I'm
afterwards.
Be there.
Well, I mean, you can buy your own shots, but there's a bar, is what I'm saying, and it's available. So That's Funny, You Didn't Sound Black on the Phone, May 27th, 28th at the Producers Club. $10, 10 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
Okay, that's it for episode 8. We'd like to thank Cinema, Kim Audio, and you, the listener. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, and like us on Facebook. Also, don't forget our contest, what actor has the best yell in film or television? Tell us what you think.